Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to the program today. I'm glad you could join us. For the past four messages, I've been preaching on the subject of the new birth. And these messages have been entitled, You Must Be Born Again. And this, today, I'm going to do the fifth message in that series. I've got six messages altogether, so I have one more after this. And the reason I've taken so much time on this is because this is one of the most important issues concerning the salvation of sinners by the grace of God. You must be born again. And of course, we're talking about the new birth. Now, and John chapter 3 is the passage that I've used as the basis of this series on the new birth, because this is where the Lord Jesus Christ confronted a man named Nicodemus, a religious man, a man who had risen high in the ranks of his religious order, the Pharisees, and a man who did recognize that Jesus of Nazareth was a man sent of God. He looked at Christ, at Jesus as a prophet. He didn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah or as God manifest in the flesh. He didn't believe that. But he knew that this is a man who performed miracles. And in chapter 3 of John, in verse 1, Nicodemus said, No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Now, that was not the consensus of the Pharisees, because many of the Pharisees looked at the miracles of Jesus as being performed in a satanic manner. They said that that he had a devil and that he was a blasphemer. But Nicodemus apparently differed with them, and he came by night. He didn't come openly in the day, and he wanted to talk to Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, we know you're a teacher from God. But Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke to Nicodemus about being born again. And he said in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Literally, the word there is born from above. So this is a heavenly birth. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I've gone over these verses in the first four messages, and if you haven't heard those, I urge you to get those messages. You can order them. We offer them free of charge. You can look at them on our website. You can listen to them and anyway, but study this from the Scriptures. Because so many people have gone awry on the new birth. They don't know what it's about. Most people today believe that the new birth is the result or the effect of a sinner exercising their free will in believing in Christ or accepting Him as their personal Savior. But that is not what the Scripture teaches. Now you may believe that, but I'm just telling you, the Scripture teaches otherwise. In fact, we read over in John chapter 1, where he was talking about those who had received Christ as opposed to those who had not received Christ. John 1, I'll just go over it again. John 1, 11. This is the way we have to study the Bible. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. I don't mind repeating myself. Paul told the Philippian church that. He said, to preach the same thing to you is not burdensome to me. The gospel of salvation by God's free and sovereign grace through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest message in the world. And so I repeat it every time I preach, and I don't mind that. It's not a burden to me. But Paul said to the Philippians, he said, and it's good for you. We need to hear it over and over again. We need to see from Genesis to Revelation how this is the gospel. And so, I don't mind going over these scriptures again. But in verse 11 of John 1, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now, some commentators say that His own there refers to His own nation, the Jews, because Christ in His humanity, it was a Jew. He was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, Romans 1 tells us. Born of the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe. And, you know, Christ is not just a man. He's God-man. He's God in human flesh. But He did have a humanity, and when He came into the world, He came into the world physically as a Jew. And so He came into His own nation, and His own nation received Him not. But there were some that received Him. Look at verse 12. But as many as received Him. Some people received Him. Some people today receive Him. Now, ask yourself this question. What's the difference between those who received Him not and those who did receive Him? Well, you could paint that a lot of different ways in the minds of human beings, how we answer that. Some might say, well, the difference was those who received Him, they believed. They exercised their free will to receive Christ, and the others didn't. Well, my friend, the Bible teaches that man by nature, and I use that term all the time on this program, and again, I don't mind repeating that because it's true and you need to hear it, and it doesn't bother me to say it over and over again. Man by nature, man and woman, fallen in Adam, the Scripture teaches. And as we are born into this world naturally, are born into a state of sin and spiritual death, and that reaches to the will. It's a state of spiritual depravity. And it doesn't always show up in acts in gross acts of immorality. Now, it sometimes and many times does. But where it mainly shows up is what is said here in John 1:11. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. If you want to talk about the depths of depravity and sin, look at it in this way, in a biblical way. How do you respond to the preaching of the gospel, the true gospel now, not a false gospel? Millions of people will latch hold onto a false gospel, salvation conditioned on sinners, that I make the difference between saved and lost, not God alone. But how do you respond to the preaching of the cross? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, I believe it's verse 18, that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who believe not, those who are perishing. And that's depravity. You can be like Nicodemus, a religious person, trying to keep the law, but if you don't know Christ, and I'm going to show you that in a verse today, if you don't know Christ, if you don't believe in Christ, that's a sign of spiritual death. And that's why Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. A couple weeks ago, I dealt with in Matthew chapter 13, where Christ told the disciples, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. So He says here, He came unto His own received Him not, verse 12, but as many as received Him. Now what's the difference? As I said, many people today, they think that the new birth comes as a result of you making the right decision. That is a lie. That's salvation by works. That denies the sinfulness, spiritual death, and depravity of man that the Bible teaches. Faith in Christ, accepting Him, is the result, the effect of having already been born again by the power of God, sovereignly and invincibly by the Spirit. And that's what He says here, verse 12. But as many as received Him, To them gave he power. Now the word power there is not ability, it's the right. He gave them the right to become or to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then he says in verse 13, which were born, not of blood, not physically. This is not, we're talking about a new birth, a heavenly birth, born from above, not physical birth. Your physical pedigree will not save you. I don't care what your grandmother and grandfather and great-grandmother and great-grandfather believed. It will not save you. They may have been lost. They may have been saved. But it doesn't come through physical blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. That's the works of the flesh. The new birth does not come about by your works. And look at verse 13 again. Nor of the will of man. The new birth is not the result of your will, your decision, your desire. He says, which were born of God. And so that's what Christ is speaking of here in John 3. You must be born again. As I said, think about the fundamentals here of the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Well, Paul wrote over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This gospel, this good news, it's the power of God unto salvation. But it's only the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If I preach the gospel to you, or if someone preaches it to me, and we don't believe it, then you can know it's not been the power of God unto salvation for me, because it's only that to everyone that believeth. Now, how is it the power of God unto salvation? Now, the word power there has to do with ability. It's the word that we get our English word dynamite from. Dunamis or dynamis, however you pronounce it. And so the gospel is the dynamite of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. You see, the power of salvation is not in the sinner's free will. The power of God in salvation is in the gospel empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's what the new birth is. It's being born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth brought about by the invincible, powerful, convincing work of the Holy Spirit. And he says, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's a revelation, see. It's not something we figure out of our own. God reveals it from faith, that is, from the body of faith, the doctrine of faith, that body of doctrine, the good news of the gospel, the glorious person, the finished work of Christ, to faith, that is, God-given faith. You see, faith is not in you naturally. It's not in me naturally. Faith is the gift of God, for by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says, as it is written, the justified, the just, shall live by faith. Now, what is it to be justified? Well, that's the ground of salvation. That has to do with, number one, being forgiven of all my sins. But don't leave this next line out. Being forgiven of all my sins, based on a just ground, a righteous ground. Now, what is the righteous ground upon which God forgives me of all my sins? Well, it's the blood of Christ. It's not my faith. It's not my repentance. It's not my works. It's what Christ did on the cross. See, this is what separates Christianity from all other religions. And so the justified are those whose sins have been completely purged away, washed away by the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see that? Now, that's to be justified. But justification before God is more than just the forgiveness of sins, the wiping away of sins, the non-imputation of sins. God will not charge me with my sins. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And who are God's elect? Those who are born again, those who believe. Not all without exception. And so, To be justified is to be forgiven of all my sins so that they cannot be charged to my account, even though I am a sinner. But it's also to be declared righteous in the sight of God. Again, based on a just ground. And what is that just ground? Again, the blood of Christ. And that term, the righteousness of God here, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God. That term, the righteousness of God, means the whole entire merit and value and worth of Christ's obedience unto death as my surety. He stood in my place, having my sins imputed to Him, and He substituted Himself. He's my substitute. He took my place under the wrath of God and died the death that I deserved and earned, but that He took upon Himself as my sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Him. And He redeemed me, bought me lock, stock, and barrel. And on that basis, God has declared me righteous. It's Christ's righteousness imputed to me, accounted to me. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that speaks of that. How that God made Christ to be sin for us, for His people, for His elect, believers. Christ, who knew no sin, He was not made a sinner or made sinful. He was made sin by our sins being imputed to Him in order that we might be made or become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, that's the ground of salvation. Now, all who have been justified before God must be given spiritual life and faith to lay hold of Christ. The just shall live. Now, how am I going to live? Because by nature I'm spiritually dead. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, but He quickened them. How am I going to live? That's where the new birth comes in. As a result of Christ's righteousness, the forgiveness of sins, and my justification before God in Him, as a result of that, I must be given life. Now, why is that? Well, sin demands death, but righteousness demands life. And Romans 5:21 speaks of that, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what does that tell you? Well, I'll tell you what it tells you. It tells you that everyone whom God has justified on the ground of Christ's righteousness imputed to them, everyone for whom Christ died, everyone whom He redeemed on that cross, will be born again. They'll be born again. And so those are the two things that have to happen for a sinner to receive salvation. He must be totally set free legally by the declaration of the judge of all, God, in justification. And he must be liberated, literally let out of the jail of sin and death in the new birth. He must be born again. Now, this new birth always comes. Now, listen to me. This new birth always comes in the context and under the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel. Always. People are not born again outside the preaching of the truth. And what happens is that God, who chose a people before the foundation of the world, and even though He chose them in Christ, they fell in Adam, and when they're born into this world, they're born in a state of sin and death, lost. But God, in His good providence, sovereignly, brings them under the preaching of the gospel. And you can read about that in Romans chapter 6. Listen to this. Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. That means you were lost. You were a slave, in other words, spiritually dead. But you have obeyed from the heart. Now, that heart there is the new heart given in the new birth. Ezekiel spoke of it. in Ezekiel 36, where God was talking about the future promise of the new covenant in Christ, he said, I'll give them a new heart. I'll put my spirit within them. Jeremiah spoke of it in Jeremiah 31. The whole Old Testament speaks of this. And he says, you have obeyed from the heart, that's your mind, that's your affections, that's your will, that's your conscience. And what have you obeyed from the heart? That form of doctrine, teaching, which was delivered you. Now, this is under the preaching of the gospel. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It also says in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you're not born again, you cannot hear or see the kingdom of God. You see that? But this literally means this. That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. In other words, in God's providence, even unbeknownst to you, God will bring you under the preaching of the gospel. And he says in verse 18, being then made free, literally liberated from sin, that is the darkness of sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, a servant of sin is an unbeliever. A servant of righteousness is a believer who looks to Christ for righteousness. You see that? And that's why you must be born again. Until we're born again, even though God chose us from the foundation of the world, if we're His elect, we're born dead in trespasses and sins, and we must be brought to faith in Christ. And that's what the new birth does. And it's under the preaching of the gospel. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about in the last days how many people will be deceived in false religion, especially false Christianity, under the spirit of Antichrist, the man of sin, the mystery of iniquity, the deceptiveness of unrighteousness he talks about. And he says the reason that people will be deceived is because they receive not the love of the truth. The truth is in God's Word. That's what I'm trying to preach, God's Word. But many, many people will not receive it because they're stubborn. And he says God will send judgment upon them, even strong delusion that they would continue to believe a lie. But in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, listen to this. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now these are the people whom God loves. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That's being set apart by the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth. That's the gospel. Whereunto, verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this thing of the new birth is the Holy Spirit sent of God, bringing God's people, God's elect, under the preaching of the gospel, wherever it is, whether it's on television or in a church service, reading a book, in some way He's communicating the true gospel of God's free and sovereign grace based upon the blood, the righteousness of Christ. That gospel, which is the revelation of the righteousness of God, Romans 1, 16 and 17, the power of God into salvation, sending His Spirit into the world, bringing us providentially, God working all things after the counsel of His own will. God working, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And He brings them under the preaching of the gospel, imparts spiritual life and knowledge, and calls them with an invincible calling to Christ. And they will receive Christ. And they cannot refuse because He gives them a new heart. And I'm going to talk about that next week in the concluding message of this on the new birth. You must be born again. And somebody says, well, if it's not up to me, if it's not based on my decision, then what am I to do? Well, I'll tell you what you're to do. Now, God has given you a mind. He's given you physical ears, and physical eyes. And these things are enough to hold you accountable, hold me accountable. And that's the way we ought to look at them. You're to seek the truth. Somebody said, well, I don't know if I'm going to be born again or not. Well, I know this. You're not going to be unless you're under the preaching of the gospel. And God's going to bring His people under the true gospel. What you need to do is look for the truth when you're searching for a church. You know, people say, well, I want a church where there's a lot of young people. Well, there may be young lost people. They may be religious. Or I want a church that has a lot of social activity. Well, that's not what the church is for. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is the family of God who are to witness in this world of the gospel of salvation conditioned on Christ, who met those conditions. Some say, well, I'm looking for a church where I can be comfortable. That may be the worst place you need to be. If you're a lost person, you don't need to be comfortable. You need to be challenged. That's right. You need to examine yourself in light of the Word of God. You say, well, I want to go where they'll tell me things I want to hear. That may be the worst thing for you. If you have children and you raised your children, think about it as those little girls and boys coming up. And you're trying to teach them right. You're trying to discipline them. Did you always tell them what they wanted to hear? Because if you did, I guarantee you've got some spoiled brats. No, you told them what they needed to hear. And that's what the gospel does. That's where Christ brings. Why did Christ tell Nicodemus? Here's this man, Nicodemus, a high in religion, a well-known and well-respected preacher in the Pharisees' religion. But Christ didn't tell Nicodemus what he wanted to hear. He told Nicodemus what he needed to hear. You must be born again. Here's what I'm telling you. For the salvation of your soul, you need a righteousness you can't produce, and you need life you can't produce. Only God can give them to you. Now seek the Lord. That's your only hope. Now nobody's going to seek Him until God brings you to seek Him. The Scripture says that. But you're not God. You don't live in that realm. You live on this earth. You think and act upon what you hear. And you're either going to reject it, and that's what happens, that's the reprobate, or you're going to receive it. That's the elect. You must be born again. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.